Welcome to Manage Your Money God's Way. We are from Compass Catholic Ministries, teaching what the Bible tells us are the best ways to handle money. And we do this through a small group study called Navigating Your Finances God's Way. You can read in detail the topics that are discussed during the small group study simply by going to compasscatholic.org. And when you're there on the navigation bar, click on Bible Studies. Well, today, John and Evelyn Bean, who are the co-founders of Compass Catholic, join me. And on the show, we want to spend roughly 30 minutes talking about kind of the highlights of this Bible study, Navigating Your Finances God's Way. Now, we have a lot to cover, so let's jump right into it. Evelyn, I'm going to start with you. What is the most important reason that people should consider taking Navigating Your Finances God's Way?
Well, Steve, you know, everything in our society tells us that in order to be happy and fulfilled, we need more. We have to buy more. We have to get the latest car, the biggest house, the newest fashions. And navigating your finances helps put that into perspective, that nothing will ever make us happy truly deep down inside.
I think I agree with everything you said. And I think that there's a realization, an attitude adjustment. You know, it's not about the money. It's about the change of your heart. And we're talking about that transformation of understanding that you're not in control. God is. You don't own a whole bunch of stuff. God does.
God owns everything.
And he's blessed you with that stuff that you have. It's up to you to be a good steward, a good administrator of the stuff that he's given you.
Well, and the other thing is, I don't remember any of the statistics, John, maybe you can help me here, but I think the average American family has $15,000 in credit card debt.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just a lot of money draining out of the family budget every month. That money could be used in such wise ways if people weren't paying interest and paying off debts for things that they probably didn't need and aren't using and really aren't getting much out of once they buy
them. Right. And it would not only would it give them more money to buy stuff that they probably do need.
Or save.
But it would also give them more money to be generous with. The survey that we did said that 70% of the people increase their generosity. As a result of taking the class. And I think that's huge because as Catholics, we're not the most giving, you know, group of people in the world.
What is the statistic, the 80-20 rule, where 20% of the parishioners pay for 80% of the parish costs?
Yeah, yeah. It's probably closer to
1090,
yeah.
So let's look at it from a personal viewpoint. You both struggled financially with debt. What was the biggest takeaway that you had the first time that you took the class? And also maybe share some of the experiences that you had when you were teaching us, because you have taught this so many times.
For me, you know, I was totally out in left field relative to the way I thought about money and finances and stuff like that. I was focused on becoming rich to the point where money was my God. It wasn't God. And so everything that I earned was mine. I deserved it. I worked hard for it. That was a huge, huge transition for me. You know, even the deed that we do in week two homework, where you give everything to God, which already belongs to him anyway, okay? But I could fill out the form, but I couldn't sign it. It took me 6 12-week sets of classes before I could sign it because I was so fixated on money and getting rich.
For me, it was more of an affirmation of how I was raised. I came from first-generation American parents, and they always lived very simply, and they paid for everything with cash, and if they ever used a credit card for any reason, it got paid off right away.
You know, it's funny, you mentioned about the fact that God owns everything, and I remember the first time that I sat through the class and I heard the facilitator say that, and in my mind, I'm thinking to myself, hold on, Jack, what do you mean he owns everything? I'm the one that's been working 12, 14-hour days, and I think it was maybe I don't even remember if it was that night or a couple of days later that I really sat down and thought about what that means. And the light came on and I'm like, you're right. Because if he didn't give me the talents to do what I did, you know, I wouldn't have been able to afford the things that we have.
It all goes back to God. Eventually, if you trace everything back, it goes back to God.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, we don't create a transformation in everybody's life. my best guess is that as we see people going through classes and we can kind of watch them from a distance and see how they're living their lives after class, we probably are able to transform 70% or maybe 75% of the people who go through the class.
At some level.
Yeah. They have a heart change.
Yes.
And
or a wake-up call, I would put it.
Okay, yeah.
So what percentage of the people who have gone through Navigating Your Finances, God's Way, the Bible study, still live that life?
Yeah, I would say about 50% have changed something about their lifestyle just because they realize that it does all belong to God and they become stewards of what God's given them instead of consumers of what society tells them. We had a young couple that were in a workshop we did back in Texas, I don't know, a long time ago. I don't even remember how long. They are have been married for maybe 10 years, maybe not even that long.
About 10.
She's pregnant, one young child, and she's pregnant, and
another
they have no debt, none.
Oh, nice.
Now, can you imagine being a young couple like that with no debt and raising your family debt-free?
30-something, yeah.
It would just be such a blessing
that
you don't
have. And mom stays at home.
Mom's a stay-at-home mom,
you know, after the first child was born, she stopped working.
Steve, I want to circle back on something you said. You were talking about teaching the class. Mm-hmm. It's not really needing a teacher that has financial knowledge. It's more of a facilitator mm-hmm. that will keep the class moving and keep the discussion on track and keep the time on track. So I just kind of wanted to clarify that because we are not looking for financial experts. We're looking for servants who have a heart for the Bible.
Yeah, and there's one other thing that you said that struck me. How many people are still totally sold out or all in, however you want to phrase it, mm-hmm. on the concept that they are stewards, God owns everything. And that's a different answer than how many people have been affected. I think that the answer, it's unfortunate, but our society is so, I don't know, it destroys people with all the materialistic advertising on the TV, on the radio, on the internet, in magazines, in the newspapers, and you know, just everywhere you turn around, you're being bombarded with be sexier, be more successful, be this, be that, you know, and because we want you to buy this particular material thing. And so for the people who are totally sold out, who've been through the class, I would say that the answer is probably somewhere 20 or 25%.
Yeah, I was my thing was the people that have been affected.
Yeah, I think you know, we can
at
have
some level.
We can create a heart change in 70% of the people, and then it varies on how strong that heart change is and how strong it stays the longer they are away from the class. One of the reasons that we've taught the class so many times, especially in the early days, and we don't have a lot of time to teach now, but in the early days, we taught the class 4 times, maybe 5 times a year, and that was 12-week classes in the beginning, because it allowed us to stay focused on our budget and to stay focused on God's Word. We were in it all the time. And I think that is something that as you're really creating that new way of life, that's so important to stay in it. And you know, they say if you can do something for 30 days, you've got a habit. Not so much for me. Maybe some people are like that. But after we did it for 4 or 5 or 6 years, it was pretty habit-forming. Wouldn't you agree, Evelyn?
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. That's one way to stay focused and move forward. And you have a support structure around you.
Yeah.
So what does the individual look like, the couple look like to take this class? Do they have to have a lot of money, no money, a lot of debt, no debt? How does, you know, somebody that's listening to this show?
It's people who have the bare ability to make ends meet and people that are getting ready to retire, people that have jobs, people that are looking for jobs. I'd say the people in our classes have ranged in age from the late teens, early 20s, up to 80.
85, yeah.
85 was the oldest, yeah.
And, you know, we started out, what's the most important reason people should take the class? It's attitude. And it doesn't matter whether you've got just humongous debt or humongous wealth on either end of the spectrum, what is your attitude? And if you've got a great attitude and you understand that you are steward of all of God's blessings, then it doesn't matter. But I would dare say that the person who has humongous debt doesn't know that. Okay, they haven't learned that lesson yet. And the person who has humongous wealth may know that, and maybe that's the reason they have all this wealth. I would say chances are they don't know it yet. They have a sense maybe, but they've been extremely lucky in their lives and they've been conservative.
So from your experience, the people who don't know it yet, does the light come on during the course of the 9 weeks, or are they the candidate that you would recommend take it a second time?
Well, once you buy the books, you can always take the class a second time. But it's actually funny because, and you know this because you facilitated, mm-hmm. you can see light bulbs going off oh, yeah. over their heads after about week
it's like
two or three.
Like the cartoon characters, you know. Oh. Doing, doing, doing.
And that's I know what the Bible means when it says that.
Yeah, and that's consistent no matter how many classes you teach. It is about the same time during the first 2 or 3 weeks that the light comes on. Even yeah. those that are reluctant.
Yes.
To take the, it's either their wife brought them or the husband brought the wife.
Yeah.
But by the week three, week four, they're all on the same page.
Yeah.
And that's nice
and that's
to
funny
see.
To watch.
And it starts out dim. You know, it's like it's got a rheostat on it. And then each week it just gets a little bit brighter and a little bit brighter and a little bit brighter. That's why it's so good.
That's why it's so much fun to facilitate.
Yeah, it is. It is.
I can tell you from personal experience, it is fun to facilitate the small groups, especially when you get to that point in the study when that light comes on and people realize that God is the owner of everything, and then they begin to see that they can get themselves out of debt. This is Manage Your Money God's Way. We are from Compass Catholic Ministries, and if you would like to know more about this Bible study, Navigating Your Finances God's Way, go to compasscatholic.org, click on Bible Studies, and review the topics that are discussed over those 9 weeks. And today we're kind of giving you an overview of that Bible study with John and Evelyn Bean, who are the co-founders of Compass Catholic Ministry. And I have to ask this question to both of you. When you took the Bible study for the very first time, you had lost a significant amount of money, all your savings and retirement accounts. And if I remember correctly, you have accumulated about $35,000 of credit card debt along the way. So how long did it take you to right your financial ship?
Well, it'd be really great to say that overnight we were able to make all these changes and
yeah.
my fairy godmother showed up and everything got paid off. But
so it didn't happen in a week.
That didn't happen.
No, but seriously, take us through that experience because this is almost like a testimonial on why you're both doing what you're doing.
You know, I've already talked about how focused I was on money. So I had to totally change that focus. And like I said, it took a while for me to make that happen. But when I brought the Bible study home, because I took it by myself the first time, because it was offered in the daytime, and since I wasn't working and Evelyn was, she couldn't go. And we taught it at our own parish. And I think that even at that very beginning point, Evelyn began to see a change in the way I thought about our money and about getting out of debt. And we began to work on it immediately.
Together.
Together. Immediately.
That was the big deal.
Yeah. Up until that point, I'd been making changes and I'd been getting my mind acclimated and really probably getting my mind acclimated to a point where I was almost up to a level where Evelyn was in her brain. But it didn't happen overnight. We got the debt paid off probably in close to, I don't remember exactly, probably 4 years it took us. Plus, we were also starting to saving. We didn't just focus on paying off the credit card debt, but we focused on recreating our savings and creating an emergency fund and that type of thing. And so that's really slow because we've counseled people who in the first year have been able to pay off $50,000 or $60,000 or $70,000 worth of credit card debt, because they were just so focused and they had enough money coming in that they could, you know, really cut and scrimp and massage that money to give them that amount of money to pay it off.
So no matter if you make a lot of money or a little money, the main thing is you have to focus. You have to be committed
yes.
to getting yourself out of debt. Now, Evelyn, I have heard you mention this a number of times before. There is a side benefit to taking the Bible study and the impact that it has on a marriage.
Oh, we, our marriage was definitely in trouble because we were not on the same page. And I think for the first, I don't even remember how long we were married when all this went down, but for the first years of our marriage,
we've been married about 17 years.
But we never really talked about money.
Right.
We kind of had parallel ideas. And of course, John's way was much more fun than the way I was raised.
I mean, I could do a good tap dance.
Yeah. And let's buy a boat. Let's buy a new car. Let's buy a bigger house. Let's build our dream house. You know, I mean, that stuff's a lot more fun than, no, let's be careful. Let's scrimp. Let's save. Let's make sure we can pay cash. So once I saw that John's heart was willing to change, that really opened up the lines of communication in our marriage. Because up until that point, I didn't think he was really hearing me when I was saying this stuff. But once he understood where I was coming from, it made it much easier for us to put our heads together and plan a way to get out of our mess. And now our minds are so much the same as far as money. If we are talking about giving to an organization and we both say, yes, we want to give, we'll think about it and we'll come up with the exact same number 99% of the time.
Yeah, it's
Really weird.
Yeah, it's strange.
So did your giving increase because of the study?
Our giving went off the roof compared to what we were before.
Yeah, you know, we were a typical Catholic giver. You know, we'd give $5 or...
Grudgingly.
Yeah, grudgingly.
In pennies.
So when we really accepted that we needed to do a better job of giving, for example, we set a plan. It wasn't a big amount that we started out giving because we just didn't have it, but we felt like we had to give something. No matter how much debt we had to give back to show our appreciation to God for allowing us to struggle and learn. And then we set a plan that about every 6 months, we would try to increase the amount we were given by 0.5%. We did that for a couple of years, and then we increased it to 1%. You know, and over the years, we built up to the point where we had some substantial gifts.
And when we got ready to leave our full-time jobs, this time in the right way, where we had enough money to support ourselves and work full-time in the ministry as volunteers, we decided we needed to cut back our giving because we weren't going to have a salary coming in anymore. We had to live off of our savings.
We were going to be on that proverbial fixed income.
Which is a scary thought. I mean, you know, early 60s, that's a long time to live, especially with my family history, both of my parents living into their 90s. So we went through each and every place we were giving, and the conversation was, well, what about these guys? No, can't cut that out. That's close to my heart. What about this? No, I don't want to cut back on that one. So we ended up not cutting back on anybody.
So did you cut elsewhere so that your giving stayed consistent?
Yes. Well, we have a pretty, I don't want to say frugal because that certainly isn't how we live, but we have a controlled life, I guess is a good way to put it. We control our finances, and if we don't have the money to do something, we don't do it. But we have a gracious plenty to do what we want.
And, you know, one of the beautiful things about taking the Bible study is that you learn that you have to track your expenses. And so many people think that that's such a pain in the rear end to, what do you mean I got to track my expenses? I don't want to do that. You know, yada, 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 yada. But I'll tell you what, we still do it 30 years later from that very first class. And we know, actually this year, it'll probably be much less than 1%. We will be able to track 99.5 or something like that because I've changed the way I spend my money. I don't spend cash anymore. Or very seldom do I spend cash. I put it all on the credit card, and it gets paid off every single month.
All of it.
100%. All of it. 100%. We haven't carried a balance on a credit card for probably 20 years now. See, that's tracking is so important for knowing where you are and having a budget. We were able to take the budget that we had when we were still working and then modify it a little bit to be our budget in as retired or, you know, on fixed income kind of thing. And we still use that budget today. I was looking at it in the last 3 or 4 days because I was doing planning for the new tax season that's coming up at the end of the year.
And the key is that it allowed us to funnel the money to the things that are most important to us, not waste it away on things that aren't that important to us.
Exactly.
Is there a lot of eye-openers after that 30 days that you saw, or even from experience of individuals or couples that you have counseled? How hard is it to make that change in their spending habit?
Well, I don't think by the time we were smart enough to realize we needed to make a change, we didn't have any place to, we didn't have any money to spend. So we didn't have an aha moment because we were already down to the nubs. But, you know, we've had people that would say, well, I spend maybe $50 a month out for lunch in the course of a business week. Mm-hmm. And when they track it for 30 days, and this one guy we know, his actual lunch expenses for a month were $250.
Wow.
And he thought it was 50. Now that's, I mean, because you just, you don't add it up. You don't know.
Uh-huh.
You know, you don't think of all the ways you spend money. You just grab a number out of the sky. And that's the mistake most people make when they make a budget, is they just grab numbers out of the sky.
And we have had people, though, I think the very first aha moment is that first 30 days of tracking expenses and income, and you see how much money you really, truly are spending. And we've had several people who've come in and after they've tracked for 30 days and say, well, I'm spending $500 a month more than I'm making. Or I remember one couple saying, we're spending $800 a month more than what we're making every single month. And, of course, the response was, and we can't afford to do that. That's why we've got so much trouble right now.
So, John, so what do you tell that couple? I mean, you worked with them on their budget. Did you show them where to cut, or do you have them tell you, this is where we think we should cut?
They have to be the, you know, they have to have ownership. They have to be the owners of their budget. It's not my budget. You know, I don't have to live on what they're making. They have to live on what they're making. So what is important to them isn't probably necessarily important to me. So they have to do it. So we talk about it, and I say, here's areas that typical people can cut their budget or massage it to reduce expenses or move them around. You still have to ask them, what do you think? Where can you cut to reduce $800 a month in spending?
So when they're doing this, I mean, it's crucial. I'm not asking the question, but it's crucial that if they're married, the husband and wife have to be on the same page.
Oh, absolutely.
The husband can't say, we're going to cut the cable in half, and we're not going to buy the lottery. We're not going to go to the movies.
No, they have to be on the same page. And you know, the people we've seen that are on the same page that really work together have much stronger marriages after they go through something like that. I know it helped our marriage immensely.
Yeah. And, you know, we've had people, and Steve, I think you've seen a couple people the same way. They maybe have $100,000 in credit card debt. Only one of the spouses realizes that they have that much debt. I mean, they're not on the same page. They're on Venus and Mars or something. I don't know.
So in the short time that we have available, I mean, what is the big reason why people will not take this class?
Because people don't like to talk about money. They think it's all about giving. They're not thinking about it from a stewardship perspective.
Well, that's one. I also think it's a problem with ego. People don't want to put themselves in a position where they have to admit, even to themselves, I'm not worried about them admitting to anybody else because we don't talk about their numbers in class, so nobody else knows. But they don't want to put themselves in a position where they have to admit that they've been messing up for years and years and years, and they have to make a change.
Making that change can be very challenging for people because of the bad habits that they've been in year after year after year. But once you really think about it, and really commit and focus to getting yourself, getting your family out of debt, it gets a little bit easier to make changes because you actually can see the light at the end of the tunnel. And like John and Evelyn experienced, and they mentioned too that it was tough in the beginning making adjustments to their spending habits, but they were able to pay off the entire debt in roughly 4 years. Now, if you would like to learn more about this Bible study, and the Bible study is called Navigating Your Finances God's Way, go to compasscatholic.org, click on Bible Studies, and take a look through the various topics that are discussed each and every week. And if you're interested, you can fill out that contact form that you see on the page, and we'll get back in touch with you real soon. You know, a majority of these studies are done at the parish level, but we do have a number of families, a large number of families, that have the study in their home. They invite over friends, family, neighbors to participate, and that works just as well. Again, the web address is compasscatholic.org. And you're looking for Navigating Your Finances God's Way. And before we get out of here today, we'd like to answer a question from one of our listeners. And the email reads, John and Evelyn, I got a copy of my credit report and saw a debt on there from last summer that I do not recognize at all. What should I do?
Well, the first thing you need to do is to contact the credit reporting agency and file a letter of dispute. And it's real important to do it in writing, either through a letter that you send certified or an email, because you need documentation of what you told them and when you told them.
Yes, because, you know, when they receive that letter of dispute, what they're going to do is they're going to contact the company that says that you owe them money. And if the company cannot provide documentation within 30 days of what that debt was and why and all that good stuff, then the credit reporting agency is supposed to delete it from your credit report. Make sure that you send your letter by certified mail with receipt capabilities so that you have proof that you sent the letter.
And follow up and make sure it's been resolved.
Yeah, don't just think it's going to happen.
Just because you sent the letter.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
John and Evelyn, thank you so much. If you have a financial challenge that you've been struggling with and you'd like John and Evelyn's help solving, why, by all means, email your questions to ask@compasscatholic.org. That's ask@compasscatholic.org. Now, if you missed any of today's show, or maybe you just want to share the show with a family member or friend, you can go to compasscatholic.org, click on Compass on the Radio, and download not only today's show, but while you're there, you'll also find our archive library of shows to look through. On behalf of John and Evelyn Bean, thank you so much for listening. This is Manage Your Money God's Way, and we're from Compass Catholic Ministries.